Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Shot, save, and Flew, score! What an effort by the Moose, who was loose in front. And from a prone position, he used that long arm to poke that one by Hellebuck, who was out of position. And Mikko Rantanen ties the game.
There's the call on ESPN. More history made from Mikko, and the Dallas Stars finally win a game one. Let's celebrate the 1-0 series lead in Winnipeg with Jake Rietma in studio here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm still fired up. I know you're going to get the drops going, whatever. Make them. Yeah. Let's hear them. Dallas.
Stars.
Yes. That's what I was yelling at the TV last night. I mean, it was late, but it didn't matter. I wanted to walk on down to Victory Park because I saw they had the little watch party going on. I think we can improve that, though. I see some of the footage from some of the other watch parties. I think we can get more people out there.
Get more
towels going. And I saw a lot of kids, which I love the kids.
Yeah, but we remember.
Yeah. Oh, no. There it is. 10 seconds in.
He kept saying,
I couldn't wait to get his stick in there with the kids. And he was filming
with
them.
Kids. Weird. He was trying to justify it. He goes, but I was filming it. It was okay.
I just kept digging the hole deeper and deeper. But they play street hockey out front in PNC Plaza before the games, and that was my favorite thing growing up. We played street hockey all the time, and it would get intense. You know, I was like, I want to get out there. I wanted to grab a stick and get in there with the kids, and they're like, yeah, you don't say that. Yeah. And then I was like, I was filming it. It was better.
Probably a little distance ruling on you now.
Yeah.
After all, Chris Hansen on line two. And, of course, the obvious is you tweet now. We're in the middle of a generational run with Mikko.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is the type of run you're going to tell your kids about. I mean, and
not, well, you can't talk.
Again,
you can't tell the kids.
You're going to tell your friends about my
goodness. I hope your fiance is listening.
Everything.
Is she pregnant?
Oh, God. No. We got to see each other for that. So,
she doesn't.
This is unraveling faster than I thought. But the way, all right, very, very seriously for the second, just the way he physically dominated that second period, or that with the natural hat trick, and to look up on a little stat bug and see Mikko Rantanen hat tricks in two of the last three periods, just insane. And I know you guys talked about it first time since 84, whatever it is, but it really is a generational run, and it could still be going because of the three goals the Stars scored. He was involved in every single one of them, so the streak is still active of 12 consecutive goals he's either scored or assisted on. Just amazing stuff. And to think Colorado willingly traded him away. Like, we couldn't come to an agreement. Yeah. They were trying to get out in front of contract negotiations or whatever it may be. And you ask any Avalanche fan, and obviously the playoff run is more proof to this that he's on, but they just can't. This could set the Colorado Avalanche back for which we obviously know about here.
They had the season-ending presser in Colorado other day.
Sackett trying to defend this. Come on,
and
man.
And the Tolos just quote tweeted and said, just say defenseman's championship.
That's it. That's it. Just say that.
No, not again.
Get out of the laugh, Fefe.
Defense knee slappers. Say that.
It's LOL. Like, ha-ha. Good one.
That's what it is, because... I get it. You know, if you're Sackett, you're trying to justify, and he's a legend there. He's trying to justify the move. And from a financial standpoint, yeah, you can't have too many top dogs on your team. But that also doesn't mean that you trade away somebody who could be as impactful as him. We have not, I can't remember the last kind of heater we've seen like this in sports, let alone in the NHL.
Yeah, I think people gravitate towards an individual star too. So, like, and not Dallas star, but an individual player that's on a generational heater like this. So from an interest viewing point, maybe you're not a hockey fan, whatever it may be, but watch hockey and see how he dominates the game and how he plays 200 feet and how he is able to creatively score. Because it's not just the same thing every time. It's redirects. It's skating in. It's power play goals. It's deflections. Whatever it may be, he's just so creative with the puck and plays well with every other. And he's playing not only on the top line, but doubling some ice time with that fourth line as well.
Jake Riedman in studio to recap Stars Game 1 victory right here on 105 Through the Fan. Let's talk about physicality, which some people thought the Stars would lose in terms of that battle, and the penalty kill.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat, whatever it may be, but the Stars are kind of known as a skilled finesse team, and Winnipeg just plays a more physical brand of hockey. And so, you know, one's not better than the other. They're just drastically different. You know, there's a contrast in styles, and I thought the Stars upped their physicality yesterday. And some of that you got to be a little bit careful with, because I think if you ask Pete DeBoer, there's some penalties and some foolish penalties that come along with that. You know, the one late in the first period, that one's avoidable, but you got to love Roope Hintz sticking his neck in there with Dylan DeMello. And I thought that kind of it sets the tone for the rest of the guys. If you see one of your best skilled players out there scrapping, that sets the tone for how the rest of the guys are going to play the rest of the way. And so I think upping the level of physicality was really, really important. And then you said the PK. Oh my gosh. I mean, the way they, you know, any just because you kill off a penalty doesn't necessarily mean it was a good PK. You know, the opposition could miss some shots. Your goalie could bail you out. But I thought all four guys out on that penalty kill did a tremendous job, led by Esa Lindell, who, oh my goodness, he was fantastic. And he was playing all the time. The ice time on his penalty kill. So they had four power plays. That's 8 minutes. He was out there for nearly 7 minutes of it.
Wow.
Did you think the third penalty they called in the Stars was a little cheap for a playoff game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The announcers touched on it a little bit. And
did you hear them?
Yeah.
We'll get to it in a second.
what a great job.
I did. And because all you're asking is for consistency. You know, if it's going to be that tight from the very beginning, okay, you're well aware of how this game's going to be played. We talk about that in every sport. But for the way for how physical that game was before that penalty, I thought it was definitely a cheap call.
All right. I don't know how you did, because you have to be in here earlier than us, but you heard their coach in post game kind of downplay this?
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of Scott Arneils, and I listened to it this morning. I'm just kind of curious. And he was, which I don't disagree with his comments, but he said, you know, Winnipeg lacked the energy. And of course, a coach is going to talk that way, but I felt like he really downplayed it, how well the Stars were prepared in a game one. And he said, our energy was like a regular season mid-December game. And that can all be true, but there's an element of the opposition forcing you into that, I think. And so I do think you'll see Winnipeg's very best in game two, obviously back against the wall. But Winnipeg's home ice advantage is where they've thrived this playoffs. I mean, they didn't win a single game on the road against St. Louis. And so for Dallas to come in a hostile environment and to set the tone from the beginning, I don't know. It's, of course, I'm looking at it from a Stars perspective, but you tip your cap a little bit, not just, oh, we got to be better and we had no energy and that's all on us. And so I think if I'm a competitor, that would, you know, resonate with me.
What was your pick before the series?
Stars in five. I wanted to go four.
Come on.
I know. Well,
gentleman's sweep.
I want to be Peyton. That's why I followed him along and you know, appointment listening every Thursday at 6:40. And
when's the second segment?
When's Peyton's second segment? Mm-hmm. Oh, the PP one. Did you guys get in trouble for saying that?
We haven't gotten in trouble yet. I didn't get it clear, but we didn't get in trouble. But good. Jake Riedma already all over the fan schedule.
Let's
here.
Let's talk hockey.
On DFW Sports Station. All right.
Overlap again.
Choppy, we're going to start this off. Right. What the hell's up with the announcers? Last night, this took off.
Man, like ESPN does not have a shortage of great announcers. Like Bob Wischusen's been doing our games on ESPN for years. When they do that, for some reason he's not on this series or not in this game. Maybe he doesn't want to go to Winnipeg. But got Buchagross last night.
We've had him on, right?
We've had Buchagross. Yes, generally is pretty good. Yeah. I don't know what was up last night.
He's more like an in-studio host, or does he do a lot of play-by-play? Well,
that's why I texted you last night. I loved him on the old school Sports Center. He was hilarious. And you give him a lot of... He's been huge with college hockey. He kind of created that brand.
He's got a good like social media presence.
Yeah. He's just not a fun dude. The dynamics of a play-by-play call, he just struggles a little bit. And I thought, to your point, he was better. He's normally better than what he was last night.
It's just like... It was almost like... It sounded like... And I know they weren't, because they did the stand-up. But it sounded like they were not there.
Who was the analyst? What's her first and second name?
Cassie Campbell.
I don't know who she is.
Someone has got to talk to her about some inflection. It was like COVID broom closet broadcast.
It was like they weren't even there. It was like they were watching on TV in a separate room, very quiet. Like when you got that was a loud place. Cool, that was a loud building, right? When you got a loud building, I didn't hear what that was. You've got to like power that voice. You got to inflect that
feed
thing,
off
man.
Of it. I mean,
yeah. We're like, Reitma in there.
Yeah, where's the energy, dude?
Hey, we need to do Reitma play by play goal calls.
The Reitma cast.
The Reitma cast. Because that does she have a? Was that nicknamed or something you came up with that you texted me, or is that kind of talked about from hockey fans?
I don't know if the specific the general disdain is talked about from hockey fans. I don't know about the specific nickname.
Just a snooze alert.
Yeah, that's all I said. Yeah, wasn't anything bad. I just said kind of snoozy.
Yeah, I mean, that's bad. But did anyone else notice this? Pepe? Were you hearing this on the broadcast?
Yeah, a little bit. I was following a bunch of it on Twitter, but then I just turned the volume down at that point.
Oh.
I thought she was great.
Just like you said yesterday, you do with McKenzie. Turn it down.
Now, good news, though, for Stars fans. If you can't make the game on Sunday, the broadcast switches to TNT, so it'll be a whole new...
You think the TNT product...
Oh, my gosh. Night and day. But to Chaffee's point, it's a really good point. The ESPN has great announcers. They're just not using them. And then...
Using them for us?
Right. I think there is truth about the Winnipeg theory, though. I mean, who wants to go to Winnipeg?
Well, it's one of the smallest cities in the league. It might be the smallest.
No, it's the smallest market with a professional team.
Well, yeah, and so like I get it. Why would you want to go there? But that's not the point.
Right. Like the point is a playoff game. Yeah. Feed off the energy of the crowd.
Like the Oklahoma City Thunder need to get the number one team.
Right. Who wants to go to
broadcast team
Auburn, Alabama? It takes like 90 minutes to get there. Yeah. You got to fly into like an airport like 90 minutes away. Who wants to go there? Guess what? That's what the game is.
Yeah.
That's what the game is. You got to go.
But I really like Jackie Redmond on the TNT broadcast. She's one of the ice level reporters. I think she does a great job. And no disrespect to Leah Hextall or Emily Kaplan. I just think Jackie Redmond does a better job.
Jacob, thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys.
You want to get a Go Stars before you leave?
Dallas Stars!
Jake Reitma, follow him on Twitter for all of your Stars and NHL hockey love. Breaking it down for us after all the Stars gigs. Get out here on DFW Sports Station. They got to fix that. Whoever the head of broadcast is, that was so monotone. That was like Pat Summerall calling a hockey game.
I thought it was Nance doing golf. I was like, is she on 18? Is she on 18 at Augusta right now?
Yes.
Long shadows, symbolic of the long road to get here.
That's pretty good. When did the fatigue hit y'all last night?
About 11 minutes to go in the third.
Oh, Bobby fell asleep.
No. I was kept alert by the play-by-play. So I was I was juiced the whole time.
About 11 to go in the third. I was like,
I napped for 4 hours yesterday, so I really wasn't that tired last night.
I was trying to, and apparently you didn't shower because you still got your Billy Bob stamp on. Stinky. A couple days later.
No, that's just I'm not scrubbing off very easily. That's the whole point of it.
I'll admit, the nap was not long yesterday, so I fell asleep before the start of the third period. In between the second and third, I fell asleep.
Yeah, trying to get like a intermission nap in.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's so painful to wake back up for it. But what brutal start times. And that was a brutal call. It was brutal announcing yesterday. I hate to say that with Buchagross, who has come on the show and been very, very good. But it is what it is. All right, there it is. Back to the Stars. Game one celebration at 8 o'clock. We get a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway. We go commercial free with the Expressway. And I know what you're probably going to say initially, but I'm telling you, you got to hear Jason Garrett talk about the George Pickens trade and how it's going to work. Audio, I don't think you can miss. Next on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean RJ along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back, live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And everyone's still reacting to the George Pickens deal that went down yesterday. Props to Bobby. Were you getting a lot of phone feedback for all the work you did on the story?
No, I was getting a lot of tweets about Slick Rick had it first. Slick Rick, he's the one that had it first.
Who's that? Rick Rude?
No, Slick Rick is this phony, like incarcerated Bob account on Twitter, basically, that everybody keeps trying to give credit to because all they see are the hits. They don't see all the misses he has. Like,
you know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Cowboys are trading or releasing Trayvon Diggs by March 17th. And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't happen. Nobody circles back on it.
Right.
But he's got a lot of those. And so he likes to chime in. Now, I will say, we tweeted it at 5:27, whatever it was. The timestamp on my text to you guys was before he tweeted whatever he tweeted last night. So,
Sheffy in your dropping face, that bomb
Pretty
from a
Ricky
plane
or
earlier
Slick
this morning.
Rick or whatever your name is.
Baiting with the plane drop. All right. So yesterday I'm just going around looking for different reaction, and I was pretty blown away by Jason Garrett. Analyst still, I believe, for Football Night in America and NBC. Choppy, you've always loved JGZ, kind of away from this show, telling the stories and elaborating. And I'm just going to go through these cuts. I thought it was awesome. This was with Mike Florio and Chris Sims. Jason Garrett with his reaction to the Pickens deal.
I think it's a great trade for Dallas. I really do. If you look at their team, I think they got a lot of good weapons. And for me, the whole thing works because of the quarterback. You know, Dak can work with anybody. He'll bring the best out in everybody. But if you think about them breaking the huddle now, Pickens goes and plays the X receiver. You move C.D. Lamb around. He can be your F, your inside guy. He can be your Z. He's going to be your motion guy. He's so good at that. Love the tight end. They're building the offensive line. There's a lot of really good things going on. But again, for me, it always goes back to Dak. You know, he's the guy that's going to run the show. He's going to make all the different pieces work together for them. And I think they have the right mentality. They're trying to reestablish the line of scrimmage. Run the football. They've used a lot of resources up front. And so when you do that and you add some weapons outside, those weapons are going to get a lot of single coverage, and Pickens and Lamb can take advantage of it.
So there he is. He's kind of drawing out for you what the Cowboys' weapons will look like when they break that huddle. And it sounds sexy to me. I'm excited for it. I am in for Oxnard. I'm officially back for Cowboys training camp. And one of the popular things now that you're starting to hear from all these analysts, the term they're starting to use for the boys is sneaky. I think they could be sneaky good. I could think they're a sneaky playoff team. They got sneaky offensive weapons. Schottenheimer could have a sneaky season, and here's Jason Garrett talking about their sneaky talent.
You know, in Dallas, it's a high-profile organization. So what happens is everybody goes to the extreme. When they're really good, they have the best talent on the planet. No team has ever been – it's the greatest – a collection of players in the history, because they're on TV, national TV, 13 out of 16 weeks, you know, everybody goes to the Pro Bowl, all of that. So it gets extreme that way. And then when they lose, oh, they got nobody. And like a lot of things in life, it's in the middle. It's not quite as extreme when it's really good. And it's certainly not as bad as people are making it seem. If you just pull back and say, what do they have there? There are good pieces. And it starts with the quarterback. I do think the running back thing is still a question for them. But they're a talented team. They're not the most talented team in the league. But they're certainly not the least talented team. There's a lot to work with there.
We go too high with this team when they're 12-5. I mean, they're everywhere, right? They're good. They're always a good team. They're always a great team. We sometimes go too high. And then I think we sometimes go too low on the flip side. That's the nature of being the Cowboys. That's the nature of being with the Lakers or the Yankees or Alabama football. There's the reality of it.
You know, I'll just speak for us. I disagree in this room.
I'm talking about in general. Like,
yeah,
you see,
but
the
I'm just going to talk about for us. I don't recall when them having an 11-12 season where I'm like, yo, man, this team's going to the Super Bowl. This team, now I thought they would advance in years
beyond,
past.
Yeah, where
I thought
they did.
The year that San Fran came in here, I remember Brad Sham shaking his head. You're underestimating, I should say, the 49ers, and he was right about that. I thought they would beat San Francisco, and I thought they've had it set up for them. But never when they've been 11 or 12 wins have I really said, all right, we're going to be covering them at Radio Row. And then when they have the horrible seasons, as you usually point out, it's because of injury.
A lot of times it's the quarterback gets hurt. And look, last year, that's true, although I do think...
What did you say?
I said except last year. They were bad before that. They were bad before they got hurt.
They were, but...
But how many games did he play?
Nine.
Half the season.
Eight. Yeah, okay. They were like 3-5. They were 3-5 when they went to Atlanta, right?
Yeah. They were better after all the injuries. They had a better record after the injuries.
The defense solidified itself later in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
And had Dak been healthy, you know, who knows, right? They're probably not, they're not going to win 10 games.
Yeah.
But, you know, were they 7-10? You know, I don't think so. And, yeah, last year had a lot of problems. One.
He missed over half the season.
So last year had their own problems going in. I still believe not giving the extension at least a one-year thing impacted something. Right. Maybe not everything, but something. Changing the defensive coordinator. Now, it wasn't a change.
You had to.
That impacted something. It wasn't no one thing you could pinpoint here.
I love this answer from Jason Garrett. He would know better than anyone. How will Jerry Jones view the antics of the diva wide receiver coming in?
This is the kind of guy that Jerry Jones loves. Jerry Jones loves the George Pickens. He loves the guy who's talented, maybe troubled somewhere else. We can try to create the right environment for him and get the most out of him. That's why the Cowboys through the years have picked a lot of guys that were deemed to be first round talent in the second round. Maybe they had an injury. Maybe they had a character flaw. Let's give this guy a chance and see if we can get the best out of him. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I think a lot has to do with the environment around the guy at the time. I felt like when I was the head coach there, we drafted a lot of really, really good players who are also great people. Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Dak Prescott, these kinds of guys, they could help you absorb maybe a couple of these guys that weren't quite the character guy that you want. They weren't the Boy Scout necessarily. But when you have a lot of other great people around them who kind of show them the way, they stick out like a sore thumb if they start doing the other stuff. Mm. And oftentimes that can help them change their ways. So I think Jerry's probably feels like this is an environment where they can do that. And they see the talent and they see how we can help the offense. So they say, let's take a shot.
Vach Lombardi tweeted something yesterday, kind of connected with Garrett to what Garrett just said. You don't build a leadership culture to keep divas out. You build leadership so they can lead the divas.
That's the thing, is that great culture is not about just blocking out anybody who's a problem. Like in order to have a great culture, the idea is like you can handle Pickens. It's not that you prevent a Pickens from coming in here. It's that you can handle Pickens better than other people can. You can handle Charles Haley. You can handle all the different guys that came along during the 90s Cowboys runs. That's what culture is ultimately about, more than just making sure you've got nothing but Eagle Scouts in here. Like, you want to make sure that you've got guys that are talented, that were bought low on because nobody else could handle them, and you say, like, that's something we can withstand, and that's going to be a big part of it. So I think that's the misunderstanding you had from some friends yesterday who were like, you're supposed to block out anybody like Pickens. It's like, no, if Schottenheimer's talking about establishing a certain kind of culture, then that's supposed to mean that Pickens would thrive here if nowhere else.
You know, they brought T.O. in, right? It was no secret. Bill wasn't like, oh, baby, right?
But yeah, when you don't refer to the person by name, you're definitely not oh, right. baby, the player. God, I wish I could have covered that.
Oh, my God.
You would have loved it.
Romo was in a much different portion of his career than Dak was. Like Romo had no skins on the wall.
Yeah.
He had, I mean, he didn't start, but he came into the season like midway through. He had zero skins. He couldn't check T.O.
Yeah.
And I always thought the T.O. attitude here, I thought he was fine. I thought T.O. was largely fine. He had his blow-ups, but he was largely fine. Dak is in a much different position.
And you bring that up. Jason Garrett doing the interview reaction yesterday with Mike Florio and Chris Sims. He said all this is going to go back to number four.
That's why it goes back to the quarterback for me. Because the quarterback's the guy who has to develop the relationship with. He's the guy who's going to spend the most time with. And so he understands. Pickens knows that if I develop a relationship with Dak, he's going to throw me the ball. I'm going to have a lot of success, all of that. And I think Dak fully understands that. And I think that's the key relationship here. Ownership, organizational structure, head coach, very important, obviously. But if you can take the next step and you have an established quarterback, I think that helps it. It helps that guy be less malcontented, if you will. And in Pittsburgh, when he's been there, the quarterback situation's been up in the air.
Right.
I don't think they'd have the same issues if Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback. Antonio Brown had a lot of good years there, and a lot of that had to do with Roethlisberger's presence, and I think the same thing can happen in Dallas with Dak.
Great points. Something that you heard with your additional phone calls yesterday about Pickens and who he played with.
Yeah, I think for George Pickens, a big part of this whole temperament problem that he had was frustration with who he was playing with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Mitchell Trubisky throwing him the ball. It's Mason Rudolph. It's Justin Fields. Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson was probably the best quarterback he played with, and Russell Wilson is a guy nobody really wants right now other than the Giants, I guess. But, no, I think that this will be a turning point, I think, for Pickens, just because he wants to get paid. He's going to be on his best behavior. He's growing up. He's getting older. I think this is probably a little bit of an awakening for him too, of just like, I'm pretty damn good and you guys just couldn't wait to get rid of me. Okay.
I could tell by your face you wanted to vocab check Mr. Princeton on that word.
Malcontented.
I just don't know if malcontented is, he may be right.
Did you look at Google it?
But I'll look at, I don't think malcontented is a word.
I do believe Princeton is a good school. And I think they specialize in English.
Malcontented is not a word.
Or are they math? I don't know.
Malcontented is not a word. You should have been able to check this with me because you're the English minor.
I'm the English minor because I took an extra literature, American lit course or English lit, just that I read Frankenstein twice.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on the home of the Cowboys. Probably last one for now. You talk about Dak's leadership. Give us an inside story, Jay Jeezy, of why he is so good behind the scenes.
Then he gets the opportunity to play because Tony gets hurt. Kellen Moore was another one of our backups. He got hurt. So Dak's thrust into it. And it was amazing how well the team responded to him. And I asked him about it halfway through the season. I think we were 9-1 at the time. And I had him in my office. I said, how are you doing this? I mean, how are you getting these guys to play for you? You know, as a rookie, it's hard to do. You got a lot of established players, Pro Bowl players that you're playing with, and they're just so receptive to your leadership. And he said, you know, I can't stand there and make some kind of a speech or be out in front, but what I can do is develop relationships with guys. And you know, so he would be in the locker room. They would play hamper basketball till all hours of the night. You know, it would be, you know, we're going to practice, we're going to watch film, we'll do our meetings, we'll do all that. And then 2 hours later, we're in a staff meeting upstairs, and you hear these guys hooting and hollering. I go downstairs, and there's 20 guys in the locker room playing hamper basketball, and Prescott's leading it all, you know? So it's that kind of stuff where he develops one-on-one relationships, they get to know each other. And when you do that, as Michael Irvin told me many, many years ago, you have a voice. And that's what you want in life. You want to have a voice. So it's time spent, and he understands how to do that. He does it as well as anybody I've been around.
I just think Jason, in that type of setting, I mean, I thought he was fantastic. Really, really good perspectives from all angles on the Pickens deal.
Yeah, this is why I always thought he'd be really good doing the analyst role. It hasn't been as good as I thought it would have been, but I always thought it would, because he is, I feel like, really good at talking about, like, breaking down the mechanics of the game. And when you hear him story, he may just be a better, like, studio host.
I think in studio with those highlight shows, it's not long enough for him.
He needs long form.
He needs long form. Yeah. And if you say, all right, Jason, give me a 30-second clip versus a minute 30, he's going to be much better in the minute. He can fill the time. He's got the education. He's got the stories. He's got the energy. You know, you can be cheesy in those 20, 25, 30-second clips.
Yeah, look, he is a really good recall.
Yeah.
Right. He's very smart.
He loves the history of it.
He's a good storyteller. That's like half the battle. Podcast world he'd be great in.
I was going to say, but if there was a Jason Garrett podcast, I would listen to probably every episode.
Because, like, you know, he probably is, for all of his faults that he has as a coach, I liked him as a coach, but he had faults. Like, he probably is a very smart football guy anyway, right? Yeah. He is. You know, he's a smart guy in general. I could see how he would be great in those long form roles, but.
And you can see why guys would really like him, too.
Oh, yeah. He's a leader. You know, I also think the further he gets away from the game and he comes to the realization that he's never going to coach again, he might open up a little bit more.
All right. So last thing on the deal, Scooter Magruder, Cowboy fan, he does these videos where I think he tries to encapsulate, no need to vocab my American University education. He tries to go ahead and recap the emotions of everyone when something like this happens. See how many of these landed for you, Scooter Magruder, with a little comedy, Cowboy Pickens reaction.
So are we getting George Pickens or not?
They said last night it was a done deal.
Did you see CD's tweet last night? It's foreshadowing.
I'll believe it when I see it.
We got George Pickens! Oh my God! Oh my gosh!
So we traded a third and they gave us a sixth. Wait, what did we trade?
We traded a third round pick in 2026 and a fifth round pick in 2027 and they gave us a sixth round pick in 2027.
This almost makes up for trading Amari Cooper for a fifth round pick.
I know it's only for a year, but we're probably gonna give him a new deal.
This is weird. I'm actually proud of Jerry Jones.
Now how's our draft looking?
There's a reason we didn't draft a wide receiver too.
Is this a dream?
Let Jerry cook.
Is Omar Khan the worst GM in the league?
I'm gonna have to get an Omar Khan Steelers jersey.
So Jerry Jones doesn't hate Dak.
We have the best wide receiver core in the NFC East now.
I don't care if he's a hothead. I would be too if I lived in Pittsburgh.
Malik Nabers about to find out why George Pickens was so mad last year.
Who's gonna be the third receiver? Do we put CeeDee in the slot?
The Steelers got absolutely fleeced.
Embrace the drama.
They got a second round pick for Chase Claypool, but a third round pick for George Pickens. You see the Jordan Lewis tweet? This makes up for the Roy Williams stream.
I don't know, man. This could negatively affect the locker room.
Ain't nobody trying to hear that nonsense. He's 24 years old and a bona fide threat.
You sound soft right now.
So now you want to cry when Jerry Jones actually does something?
He has the same agent as Micah?
Jerry Jones better get to know him now.
Hear me out.
We still sign Amari Cooper.
I actually have hope this season.
If we stay healthy, we can have the best offense in the league.
I can't believe we got the wide receiver from the meme.
I don't want to say it.
But this is our year, baby. Let's go.
The things he hit on for me, the compensation, we're all trying to figure out. Oh, it's a fifth, becomes a sixth.
We get one back, but they also throw one an extra one.
Yeah, the Jerry props, the all-in storyline. Was this part of the draft plan? The Jordan Lewis tweet. David Mulugeta, knowing his name now. David ever respond to you yesterday?
He liked something I said, but I'll tell you during the break.
But he's not coming on.
No. No.
Okay. So there it is. I think Scooter Magruder, he does a good job.
You know, like when you have, to me, like I want a linebacker who toes the line to be a little crazy versus not. And if you don't have a little bit crazy of a linebacker, I don't think you have a linebacker. If you don't have a wide receiver who's a little bit of a diva, you don't have a wide receiver.
Okay.
You got a possession receiver.
Put that on a t-shirt.
It's gonna be like your new clothing line. Get those slogans
Let's
on
Let's hook you up for Turning It On, Leaving It On, and then the Neighborhood Watch with Bobby, Jelly Roll, and Post Malone in Fort Worth.
So come a little closer, baby.
It's on.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley on Friday, May 30th at the Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Special edition of the Neighborhood Watch as Bobby Belt was breaking Cowboys news while enjoying Billy Bob's.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jelly Roll, me ducking fisticuffs at Billy Bob's, me being too tired to take benefit of
no cereal.
No cereal. Because of just how late the evening went, thanks to George Pickens. George Pickens might have gotten in the way of me eating cereal.
That's the first thing we got to talk to George about when we see him.
Yeah. Like, hey, you disrupted me taking advantage
of
what was a big time win for me.
Apparently he blocks more there than he does downfield. Wow. According to Jay Gruden.
Wow. Come on. Be nice. Ted Wynn from The Athletic was going off on George Pickens yesterday.
About?
Just video clips of him, like, he doesn't low effort, like, on routes. He doesn't think he's getting the ball here. He's not running it. Oh, blocking? Look, he's not even getting in the way of a guy. Like, just
was it true?
He was ripping. The clips were not good. But, you know, you got to take it in totality. I've not dove in completely on George
Pickens
yet.
You have a thing for diva receiver. It's like my brother. My brother will call, and you will call people out for cancers. You and my brother have this weird thing for loving these divas.
It's the corner and the receiver. You've got to be kind of me first out there.
Buy an RJ
bit.
T-shirt.
Exactly. You got to be a little
me first receiver.
Yeah. You want the I love me some me. You want the throw me the damn ball. You want that guy at receiver. I don't want the Jalen Tolbert going like, oh, I've worked my confidence up to a 6 in year 2. Like that's not what you want. I want the guy who does think he's going to just destroy everybody. Before we get into Jelly Roll, I do have to say today it's game 1. This evening I'll be after I send my email. I'm riding out to Byron Nelson High School because I'll be watching Keller versus Marcus. I got my Marcus shorts on. The Texas high school softball playoffs are going on, so I'll be taking in Marcus and Keller and having to sit behind home plate and split my allegiances even after they brought the big box of gear in here.
And where's the game?
Byron Nelson High School tonight. So it's like typically for these playoff games, they just find whatever the middle point is between the two schools. Yeah. And
so
then
you're
they
not
meet.
Going back out to where you did.
No. This is not Midland. Yeah, this is Trophy Club. This is okay. So it'll be a good game. I'm a little uncomfortable with having to face everybody with the Mama Kelsey split jersey, but I've got to ride the fence a little bit. I've got allegiances on both sides. I don't know what I'm supposed to do about it. We did get a chance to go to Billy Bob's on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night?
Yeah, I was trying to avoid it.
No, what time did you actually show up when she wanted you in line at 4 p.m.?
So we didn't.
And it was raining, right?
No, not when we got out there.
Oh, it stopped, right? It stopped around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so it was done raining at that point. No, we actually ended up getting there closer to like 4:45. Okay, and because she was getting ready, like we said during Ask Reddit, what's something you've learned not to trust a woman about? I'll be ready in 15.
Yeah.
I knew we weren't going to leave when we were going to leave. So we get out there at 4:45. Round 5, we were going to go meet up with media entertainment marketing whiz, good friend of Choppy's, Joe Chavez. We're going to hang out with him, catch up a little bit. So we knew we were going to have to, with the doors opening at 5:30, Kristen was like, we're going to go over there and meet up anyway. So it doesn't really, we're not going to be in the front of the little general admission area. But thank you to Joe Chavez and what a whiz he is. We were able to get into that pit area.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh, you have never seen somebody.
You want to be in the pit?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, are you kidding? Because at Billy Bob's,
view, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you're not right on the front row of those flanks at Billy Bob's, you are. And Kristen's short; she's like having to stand on her tippy toes just to see over people. But Joe hooked it up. I've never seen somebody more smooth finessing a situation than Joe getting us into that pit area. He is he's pretty smooth
listen,
with it.
You've got he's an agent, and when you're an agent, you got to be a little.
Oh, he's good though.
You got to be able to kind of grease a few things every now and then.
And I think every person in that building who was there, whether they were ticketed or not, he knew. He seemed to know every single person in there a little bit. Just go like, hey, you know this guy, Bobby? Say hi here. And like, just give me all these different introductions.
The mayor was out there.
And that's the thing. So he was out there. Joe was out there.
Is that the one that you've been putting the hate on the radio for the parking?
That's the people who think they own
Fort
Worth.
They have the build. They own the building. The mayor's just doing mayor. I don't even know what mayors do.
Joe had helped coordinate.
They sit next to Patrick Dumont.
Mayor Matty Parker, Fort Worth Mayor Matty Parker, had issued a city proclamation on behalf of Jelly Roll for his work with first responders and juvenile youth. So he does a lot of different things in terms of actively raising money, donating his time, visiting kids in juvenile halls, different things like that, trying to reach community. Everybody there who had any sort of experience that I was talking to that had followed Jelly Roll, or maybe knew him a little bit, was just talking about how, like, the dude's the greatest guy of all time. Wow, like, in the way that he's cool. just turned his life around and things like that. But yeah, Mayor Matty Parker had the city proclamation, and it was Councilman Carlos Flores, Councilman Michael Crane. They were there to deliver the proclamation. That was something that Joe had helped put together. But man, it was a great time, and Fort Worth was happy to recognize him. He's done this a couple years now, this Jelly Roll and Friends benefit concert. And at the end of the concert, he said, "Hey, we'll be back next year. I'll see you guys again next May." So this is like a new thing. And there was buzz in the building because we were wondering, all right, is Shaboozy going to show up? There's been some rumors of that. We were hearing rumors on the floor that Blake Shelton was going to pop out.
Oh, baby.
Lainey Wilson was there. Co Wetzel had made an appearance.
I like Lainey Wilson.
Lainey Wilson was great. I like and so, but the big one everybody was wondering, Friday night, Post Malone, Jelly Roll, they're going to be at AT&T Stadium. Were we going to get an appearance out here at Billy Bob's? And then that's when Jelly Roll stepped up to the mic and delivered this.
He is by far the biggest rock star on planet Earth, but he is such a good guy. He still said, "Yeah, Jelly Roll, Billy Bob's on a Tuesday. I'm in. Y'all give it up to me."
And he was so good. They performed Losers together, which is their new song. And you got the video up on the fan cam. Aiden's got the video of Post Malone walking out on stage.
Dude,
and
that's cool.
It was so close because Joe getting us down in that pit area, we got a clean sight to him. Post Malone, every single one of these people, even at these concerts, whenever anybody's on stage, they will go off to the back. They walk off, do whatever else. Not Post Malone. When their song was done and he said, "All right, I'll see you guys Friday night," he threw out a "How about them bleeping Cowboys" while he was up there. Post decided at the end of his set, he jumped in the pit in the front row took pictures with everybody as he's introducing Lainey Wilson. And he's like signing autographs. And then instead of jumping back up, he walked along the front of the stage to get to the back. And so because of that, anybody in the front row was sitting there reaching it. And so Kristen sees him moving. And because they're introducing Lainey Wilson, everybody's focused on stage and not realizing Post is here. So she starts like running over to there. And just as he's about to get off stage, she just kind of put her hand out and he reached out and he grabbed it and gave her a squeeze and like smiled. And so she was she immediately came over. She's like, my heart's beating so fast. I'm not going to wash my hand. Post Malone grabbed my head. She's obsessed with Post right now.
Really?
She loves him.
If you were doing like a, who are the most individually like talented musicians like right now, Post could do every genre.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl's on that list. Bruno Mars. Bruno can do everything. He plays like every instrument. There's a handful of like musicians that are just on a different level. They're like the more uncommon of uncommon people. And like Post is one of them.
I did run into a couple Tolos while we were out there. So Thurman was around there. He came up while I was in line, and he shook my hand, and he said, "Hey," he was the one who made the reference. I said, "Yeah, I'm trying to work my way to get down to the pit area." And he was like, "Well, just do like Choppy. Just say Google me. If you get your Google results up, then they'll let you up there." I also met Albert, who is he coaches baseball around here. He actually, he coaches a little bit at Colleyville. So he had done some stuff with the seniors while Luca, I guess, was coming into his freshman year. Mm-hmm. And so he had been working with the varsity team a little bit. So he works around the Colleyville baseball team and stuff like that. But Albert was great to talk to.
Game tonight.
And Albert was, he also knows a good buddy of mine over at the Cowboys, Doug Dawson. His daughter's going to be interning there with the sales team, I think is what it was. But it was great to see Albert. It was great to see Thurman. They both came up and said, "Hey." Now, the whole reason we were able to get close enough for that shot, because you saw that that's a pretty clean line of sight there to Post Malone. That was a clean look. We were fairly close and moved pretty close up front. We were able to get about 20 feet closer than we originally had because of a flat-out brawl that had started just in front of us. And you started hearing a little bit of...
Like, so how did the reserve space topic work out?
It didn't have to, because when we were on the flank... And that was when I posted the video of this fight that was going on at Billy Bob's or the very end of it, somebody replied and said, "This is surely the result of somebody trying to save space, I bet." And that's what I was concerned about. I was worried about
punching a little person.
Yeah, that little bumping. But when we were on the flanks like that initially in the general admission, we were so deep in the back near the bar, there's not really space that she was trying to save. And then once we got in the pit area, well, that's the pit. You're not really saving space when you're just crunched into a pit. So luckily it didn't come up, because if it had come up, I was just going to have to tell her, look, I know what I committed to, but I'm not saving anything. Yeah. You just got to come back. But it was, in fact, that was the first thing that came up when we met with Joe Chavez. He's like, boy, you just threw your wife under the Jelly Roll tour bus and drove right over her this morning on the air, didn't you? And I was like, no, how am I supposed to save air? I don't understand how I'm supposed to say, don't step into air, you guys. But no, it was a great concert. And when this fight started, which I didn't, Kristen is the one who's
like, the
place
was jam-packed.
Yeah, it was tight. And she had like tapped me on the shoulder, Kristen, and she's like, there's something going on over here. There's a fight or something. Because it was starting to stir and you were hearing some yelling and people were backing up. And I was like, I couldn't tell who was fighting or what. I saw on the comments on the video, some people who were there said this started because some guy drunkenly like pushed over some like older woman.
Oh God.
And then it just turned into people swinging on each other. Ugh. But by the time, like when security came out, I'm sitting there trying to record Coe Wetzel singing High Road because I love the song. And in the middle of him doing it, security's come by with their little flashlights, like just waving them in everybody's face, like, y'all need to move. We need to get over here. And they're walking this guy out. He's bleeding from like his hairline all the way dribbling down over his eye, Eric down Montross. His chin. And then they bring another guy out who has his shirt ripped open from the collar all the way down. It's just split open like he's the Hulk. Like, and so there was, it was a brawl that walked four or five people out of there. But that fight caused everybody to freak out and spread out. And so they all start moving back and spreading out and creating space. And I was like, this is gonna get broken up pretty quick. Just keeping your head up. And I was like, Kristen, move. And we walked straight up into the open space. And when it all collapsed back around us, it's like we were able to move up a good 20 feet closer in this situation. But it was a great concert. I loved it. Again, it was a great job.
She must have been on. She even gave you social media props.
I know, which doesn't have. I was certain she was side texting her friends about like, I'm stuck back here because we didn't get here early enough. This is Bobby's fault. I was sure that's what I was getting. And then I got the salvation of that. And ultimately, I didn't reap the rewards of it because George Pickens news broke. So I'm sitting there going like, hold on. We got to park here at Bucky's so I can text people. And so that delayed us another 20, 30 minutes getting home. So by the time we got home, she's like, I'm tired. Like, I'm tired. I need to go to bed. I'm going to get 3.5 hours sleep here. So we got to go to bed. And so George Pickens ultimately ruined me getting cereal.
Oh, man.
And he owes me now. I don't know how, but he owes me.
From the Frankel injury attorney's fan sex. Post just casually hanging out at the White Elephant before the concert. That's in the Stockyards. The rap to country flip for Post needs to be studied. Jelly Roll came through this guy's Whataburger drive through, tipped every employee $1,000. That's from the 940.
Whoa.
Dude, he's lost a lot of weight, too. Yeah.
Travis Hill will love hearing that.
And then Ryan says, Bobby, I'm a bartender there at Billy Bob's. Stop by next time.
Okay, Ryan, I'll be looking for you there. It was a great time.
Dismiss that like Peyton did the AT&T Tolo who offered him free drinks yesterday.
I just said, Ryan, I'm going to come see you. I didn't say, Ryan, I'm in a suite that you better have keyed entry for because I'm not in a suite.
I already reached out to Tolo Adam, so he said, just text me when you get here and he'll hook me up.
So you're not in a suite?
No, I said that. I said I was in a suite, but then I said, I'm just kidding. I'm not actually in a suite. No.
Do you actually get a house, too, or a new shower? You make that up, too?
Right next to yours.
Shower. Right next to yours.
The Neighborhood Watch, specifically and only in Fort Worth for today. It's the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ, commercial-free with the Expressway. Congrats to the Dierks Bentley ticket winner. We'll have one more giveaway tomorrow. You know that Miko took over game one. But who's the most deserving in these playoffs? How many stars are the most deserving of getting a cup? And is Miko the best player left in all of hockey right now? The Stars Party continues with Sean and RJ next.